You can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day as we face the issues. I'm going to ask you to limit, if you please, your dialogue and discussion on the issue today because it is a very serious theological, doctrinal, biblical issue. Did Jesus Christ really die and go to hell? I'm talking about after his death, burial, before his resurrection. Did he go to hell and preach the gospel to those in hell, giving them a second chance for salvation? Or a better question, perhaps, for some that would be more familiar with this term, does purgatory really exist? Does purgatory really exist? I'm looking at an article that's talking about the Apostles' Creed. This is perhaps the root origin of Jesus dying and going to hell. The Apostles' Creed, a traditional version, states that Jesus descended into hell. The Nicene Creed, a subsequent clarification on the Apostles' Creed, as one writer calls it, the Nicene Creed does not explicitly state descending into hell, but still, church fathers such as Ignatius, Antioch, Tertullian, Irenaeus, all discuss Christ going to hell. So, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's time that we clarify that so that we are preaching and teaching the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and not some mollification of what is fact and not some deterioration of what is fact. One of the major, major problems we find today, ladies and gentlemen, is studying the Scripture, knowing the Scripture, and knowing what the Word of God really says and not being deceived by, as Paul called it in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, 7, 8, and 9, another. It's the word eteros from the Greek text, a different gospel, another gospel, a different truth, if you will. And if there's a variation from the truth, it's not the truth, as we talk about. That's what we're going to be looking at today. Where do you go in the Scripture to verify and to determine whether or not Jesus Christ died and went to hell and preached the gospel to those in hell, giving them a second chance? Is that what happened? That's what I hear. That's what multitudes of denominations believe. Roman Catholicism says there's a place called purgatory, and a person that's not fit for heaven and is partially not fit for heaven but is okay to go to hell, that he'll go to a place called purgatory, and the priest can pray him out if the family members pay the priest and the church enough money to pray their loved one out of purgatory. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a convoluted demonic lie. Nothing in the Scripture says that Jesus Christ died and went to hell. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Scriptures that are misinterpreted, misconstrued, and taken out of context, and reading into the Scriptures that which is not there, that which is never intended biblically, theologically, and doctrinally. We're going to look at those today and talk about it. I recall, ladies and gentlemen, a number of years ago, when Jan and Paul Crouch were still alive, and Jan Crouch sat on her seat staring straight at the television camera, and she was weeping with her makeup flowing down her face, and she was weeping, and she said, just think, Jesus Christ died on the cross and went to hell for us. ladies and gentlemen, that's what multitudes believe today. That's what a number are preaching and teaching today. So the purpose of this broadcast today, as we face the issues, is to ask the question, is that really what happened? What does the Scripture really say? And as we look at the issues each and every day, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. Jesus said to his disciples, John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, the word of God makes the declaratory statement about the Scripture. Thy word is truth. And in Psalms 117:2, the Scripture says the truth of the Lord endures forever. How long is forever? It's forever. Unending. Unending. But ladies and gentlemen, perhaps the greatest difficulty we have in theological, doctrinal, biblical circles today, the greatest difficulty we have in political circles today, the greatest difficulty we have in the world today, is ascertaining what is truth. The secularist George Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. Ladies and gentlemen, truth matters. Doesn't make any difference what side of the aisle you're on, politically speaking. Doesn't make any difference what denominational dogma you may believe. Truth still stands, and it's the truth that ought to make a difference in your life and mine. And yet, when I say that, I'm reminded that according to the latest survey, 55% of the millennials say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, according to the survey, 55% of the millennials say that each person determines their own version of truth. Now, that's what we see taking place in the political world. That's what we see taking place in society in general. But, ladies and gentlemen, it ought not to be the case in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the centrality of truth called the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Any deviation from that is a falsehood. Any deviation for that is simply not true. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. By the way, I quote him a lot. Many things that he believed theologically, doctrinally, would be different from my belief system, theologically and doctrinally. But he made a powerful statement, several statements, in fact, one of which was, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. Now, I believe that's what we ought to do. I believe that's the missing element, the missing link in society today. That's the missing link, the missing element in theological doctrinal circles today, denominational circles. That's the missing element in the political society and the world in which we're living in today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier. There's a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for Time is a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, today's issue, the issue we're speaking of, and I'd love for you to stick to that, a question about the issue, so that we can stay on focus and get to the point that I'd love to today, for this particular broadcast on this issue. I believe it is absolutely imperative that Christians understand the truth of God's Word and do not deviate off into what philosophical rhetoric some might say. And by the way, as a little parenthetical footnote to that, there are multitudes of what I call good preachers today, Bible teachers today, that simply go back to what Tertullian may say. They go back to what the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed might say and quote this, in fact, saying that Jesus Christ died, went to hell, and 3 days later came back out of hell. And in hell, he was preaching redemption to those that are lost. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's antithetical to anything that's taught in the Scripture. That is unbiblical and a falsehood that's being perpetrated and has been for centuries upon human beings, especially in the Christian circle. So, does purgatory exist? Love to know where your thoughts are. Where is purgatory? Does it exist? How do you get there? How do you get back? How do you get out? What's the answer to that? Did Jesus die for your sin, shed his rich red royal blood on Calvary's cross, and then go to hell, and then come back, having given victory to those that are lost? Some say that, well, you know, the Old Testament, all of those that died and went to hell, they didn't know the gospel. So when Jesus died, he went to hell, preached the gospel to them so that they could have an opportunity to be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a lie. If you say no to Jesus Christ and you die, you go to a devil's hell. There's no second chance. There's no second option. There's no other place to be other than that place called hell. I want to clarify that for all of our listeners today. And by the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Dr. Davis is with me. Dr. Davis is with me today, and we're going to be talking about this. Dr. Davis, thank you for joining us. I know it was a harrowing trip to get here, but I'm thankful that you made it. We have this privilege.
Amen. Thanks so much, Dr. Youngblood, and I want to say good morning to my bride of 39 years, amen, and all of my family and friends that are listening on today, and certainly, amen, it doesn't matter how we interpret the situation, Dr. Youngblood, only the Word of God is going to be correct.
That's right.
If we stick with what the Scriptures say, mm-hmm. we can never be misled or make a mistake. There are so many things, I mean, like this that comes up in the church today, and I would say they begin to generate more confusion than it does wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Mm-hmm. So if we stick with the Word, once again, only the Word of God is going to be right, and if we're going to live, we're going to also have to live by that same Word.
Absolutely. Well stated. Ladies and gentlemen, let me repeat our issue today. Did Jesus really go to hell after he died and preach the gospel, giving a second chance to those in hell? Does purgatory really exist? What is it? Where did it come from? And do you believe there's a second chance once a person goes to hell? Purgatory. Can they be brought back? Did Jesus really go to hell? Is there a holding place for the lost people? And more importantly, is it possible to be prayed out of that holding place that some denominations call purgatory? Literally, the question must be boiled down to a simple question. After death, is it possible for an individual to change their eternal destiny? That's the real bottom line. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead with your question.
Okay, yes. I never believed in purgatory, but they always taught my church that Jesus went down to hell to get the keys from Satan and the keys from death. Is that true or not?
No, it is totally unbiblical, total falsehood, absolute philosophical rhetoric. Well, Jesus holds the keys. Satan didn't hold the keys. He didn't have to go to Satan and say, may I have the keys, or I'm going to take the keys back. Listen, when Jesus died on the cross, Luke's gospel is very, very clear in the gospel according to Luke chapter 23, verse 43, when the two thieves were on the cross, one cried out for redemption and asked Jesus to forgive him, basically, and Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus didn't say, today you're going to go to a holding tank, and then after that. So a lot of things, Kenneth, that people are believing and teaching today are antithetical to the Scripture in context. And most of the church denominations that teach what you're talking about, they go back to either the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed and use that, was stated by the, as I call it, the founding fathers of the church, that is Ignatius or Antiochus or Tertullian, Irenaeus, one of them, and they, in that creed, they talk about Jesus dying and going to hell. Listen, here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. And then we'll see what you say and go from there with other callers. But as we look at the scripture, we understand what the scripture is saying in relationship to the word study. Sheol in the Hebrew and Hades in the Greek, literally this word meaning the grave, Gehenna, and other words are simply meaning the burning fire, lake of fire, that place called. But in most cases, you'll find where it talks about Sheol and Hades, it's talking about the abode of the dead, the grave, very simply. So Jesus went to the grave, and he said very, very clearly in the scripture when it talks about that. Jesus talked about in Matthew 25:41, he called it hell. Luke 16:19-31, the rich man died, and in hell, in burning in the flames, he lifted up his eyes and said, these flames, I'm tortured in the flames. There's no holding place. Once a person dies, his destiny is already determined based on what he has done before death. This is the reason it's so important, so urgent, that everyone under the sound of my voice realize right now while you're breathing, right now where there's a heartbeat, there needs to be a decision made. Where will I spend eternity? Will it be heaven or hell? Jesus did not die and go to hell and spend 3 days in hell and then come back. In fact, he was very, very clear in the scripture in relationship to it. He talked about just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so also Jesus will be in the center of the earth. That's talking about the grave, no, nothing more and nothing less. But Kenneth, it deserves our prayer and consideration because there's so many that's being deceived by false doctrine and by another gospel rather than the truth of the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. And Dr. Youngblood, you know, it's so very important, and I'm very grateful to hear you to define those two words, because basically, once again, when we look at the explanation that's been given down through the centuries, it's based on denominational dogma.
Yes.
Now, we must understand all dogma is not bad, but anytime it's mixed with the ideas of a man, it becomes perverted.
That's right.
So then somebody's going to get thrown off track. You know, because man has now mixed his opinion and his ideas in with the Word of God. And only the Word of God can be correct. So we have to follow what that Word says. Now, let me speak to family and friends and all of the Christian nation, all of the believers on today. Wherever that place is or whatever it is, take my word for it, you don't want to go there. That's why we are here today, to explain to you, to let you see the difference in what the meaning of the word is and what kind of teachings are out there that constantly misleads people all of the time. Now, here's what I have. When you look at Sheol and when you look at Hades, this is what I found in my research. It is the land where no work is done and no wisdom exists. Ecclesiastes 9:19. Most significantly, Sheol is a place where no one praises God. Psalm 6:5, 88:10-11, Psalm 115:17, Isaiah 38:18. In the New Testament, we learn some of what the afterlife is described as in Luke 16:19-31, which is what you just talked about the rich man being in hell, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
And his description of it was not good.
That's right.
So we're trying to steer you away from that. Whatever it is, get the proper understanding, because the Bible says, in all thy getting, get understanding.
Yes.
So make sure you understand that that is a place that you do not want to go.
Absolutely. That 23rd verse of Luke 16, and in hell, he's speaking about the rich man. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, the man didn't go to hell because he was rich. Went to hell because he had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the scripture says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Ladies and gentlemen, according to Matthew 25:41, right page, right column, halfway down in my Bible, hell was created for Satan and his angels. Listen, there would be no reason, no rational reason, any place in the Word of God that a person would say that Jesus died and went to hell. I believe we have Santiago on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning. God bless you, Dr. John Blunt. Well, that philosophy by the Catholics was created by Constantine in the 130, I believe, to get money for the church. You know, that's the only reason that those people try to get money. The only way that you can be saved is you pay money, you know, for the... like that you don't go to the purgatory, and that's the only reason, you know. And Jesus went to the down because he said that he had to do give testimony on himself. You know, that's my comment.
Santiago, you're exactly right. Jesus, if you want to put it in a Youngblood paraphrased edition, Jesus went into the grave, and as some tried to profess and claim that the text in the Bible talks about somehow, some way, that Jesus went to Gehenna or Tartarus, which is the burning fiery place called hell, he simply went to the grave, and he preached victory, if you will, saying to all of the saints of God that I have had victory over sin, death, and the grave. And it should be a glory hallelujah text for every child of God rather than a wonderment. Well, you know, what did Jesus do in hell? How did he get out of the flames, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? There's a major, major problem with those that will believe that kind of false theology. In fact, Santiago, thank you so much for your call. Dr. Davis, would you open your Bible to 1 Peter 3? 1 Peter 3, verse 18 through 20. Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to read the text that is the pertinent text for false theology, talking about purgatory and the fact that Jesus supposedly went to hell after his death on the cross and was there for 3 days and three nights and was trying to preach a revival, if you please, to those that are in hell. Dr. Davis, read that, 1 Peter 3, 18 through 20.
Okay. And it says here, "For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water."
Absolutely. That is the key text, ladies and gentlemen. Multitudes get confused over and say that Jesus died and went to hell. Here, Jesus is simply announcing to the saints, victory, victory, victory over sin, death, and the grave. It's a glory hallelujah text, not one that should cause us to think that somehow, some way, that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, went to a devil's hell. That is simply untrue. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood, Dr. Davis. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Very blessed.
Doing well. Thank you. I have a two-part question here. When God created Earth, he put man in it within Eden, and then he cursed the land when he told Adam and Eve to leave. So Christ left the throne to come down here and live in a cursed world for 33 years. That's quite a testimony of itself there. You could almost say that outside of heaven, what would you even call a cursed earth? My second question in relation to that is in Revelation, they're talking about the martyrs, and the martyrs are asking for, when will you avenge our blood, Lord?
That's the sixth chapter of Revelation, yes.
Yeah, I think a lot of the purgatory comes from that particular, because they're there and they're decrying, or they're asking God to avenge their martyr or their blood, and he tells them wait a little longer there. I don't personally believe in purgatory, but could you elaborate farther on, you know, to me, Christ came here and lived on a cursed earth for 33 years and gave his life for us.
Yes, absolutely. So, let me pick up on that for a moment, Jim, and give a little thread, if you will, please, to tie together what you're saying. Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. He had no sin, did no sin, and could do no sin. Scripture says he's high, holy, harmless, and undefiled. Jesus Christ is God. The blood in the veins of Jesus Christ, the God-man, was 100% God's blood, and therefore it was sinless blood, had no sin. And when you link that in any way with the Revelation chapter 6 text, where the scripture is talking about the martyrs, during the days of the tribulation, multitudes that get saved will be martyred for their faith. So the martyred saints are pictured under the throne of God in Revelation the 6th chapter, under the throne of God, indicating God's protection and God's provision for them. And because of what they had suffered in the martyrdom during the days of the tribulation, they're saying, Lord, how long before we're going to be vindicated for our stand for the gospel? That's what they're saying. And he says, just a little while longer. And when you look at it on the basis that in Revelation chapter 6, it's not even at the halfway point of the seven-year tribulation that will be doled out on a Christ-rejecting, God-hating, Bible-denying society, beginning with the sixth chapter of Revelation, going through the 18th chapter. So those that are under the throne of God is simply being with God in His protection, and they're robed in white, the scripture says, indicating their purity, their salvation, their relationship to Jesus Christ. So what when we see that, we cannot take that then and tie that or link that, or have a nexus to that with the saying that we're talking about in relationship to those saying that there is purgatory, there is a holding tank. And listen, some good preachers today, otherwise good, saying that paradise is a holding tank. One part of paradise, you got lost people. One part of paradise, you've got saved people. And then at the resurrection, they'll be brought out, and some will go to heaven and some will go to hell. That's simply a demonic lie. In my book, That Place Called Heaven, on page 39, let me read. First of all, paradise, there are no so-called theologian scholars that would say paradise is not heaven. The saved are in the compartment for the good. Some saying the lost died there in a compartment for the bad. There's no speck of evidence any place in the scripture that validates this pure speculation. Some call paradise the intermediate state. That is, there's no simple, if you please, going to heaven, going to hell. There's, in fact, I don't say this to denigrate some of these preachers. I'll not call their names because I don't want it to sound like I'm trying to denigrate them. But some good nationally, internationally known pastors, preachers, preach that their paradise is simply talking about a holding tank. I state on page 39 in my book, That Place Called Heaven, this misunderstanding of paradise is the reason Roman Catholicism holds to the false belief of limbo or purgatory. Recently, a radio preacher was preaching on the subject of heaven, and he talked about, I'm quoting that in my book, talked about paradise. He gave a long narrative about how it is a holding tank. He calls it the intermediate state between heaven and hell. He calls it a transition state between heaven and hell. Jesus told the man on the cross, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. In Luke, the 23rd chapter, I think it is. So Jesus didn't say, this day you're going to be with me in hell. He said, this day you're going to be with me in paradise. He didn't say, this day you're going to be with me in a holding tank, and eventually we'll get to heaven. This day you'll be with me in paradise. Paradise is simply another term in the scripture for that place called heaven. Heaven is also called the city of God. It's called the New Jerusalem. It's called Holy Jerusalem. It's called the New Heaven. It's called the New Earth. It's called Beulah Land. A number of names for heaven. And the bottom line is, Jim, I am a little perturbed, I think it's an easy way to say it, with some of these preachers, pastors, so-called theologians, that will take what Irenaeus said, or what Tertullian said, or what Augustine said, and take that as precedence over the Word of God. We need to recognize that's not the case at all. But Jim, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. After the news break, we'll come back and continue our discussion today. Did Jesus really go to hell for us, or does purgatory really exist? Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ Orange Park. W.